And good morning, all. It's 8:07 on this rather dreary, rainy Monday morning. Jimbo in for Tara today and tomorrow, and I believe a third party to be named later, possibly a high draft choice of WORD, will fill in for Tara on Wednesday morning. And, of course, the constant, the glue that holds together this morning's session here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, is the man with all the news of the morning, Lee Rogers. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Jimbo. Yes, you are stuck with me.
That's a good thing. We like that. Well, we are Velcroed to Lee.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I was just thinking about why we have a free society. We have a free society because most people are able to say, okay, my side lost, but I trust that, in fact, my side did. Now, next time, I'll get organized and work harder, and we'll try to see to it that my side wins. But I trust the outcome. Anything that undercuts that trust in the system puts us, I don't mean to sound like Armageddon here or too apocalyptic, but anything that undercuts that integrity puts us not that far away from shooting each other in the streets.
You're absolutely right, and this sort of coincides also with the whole the dual justice system in this country. When the populace no longer has any faith in the pursuit of justice and it being meted out to those in need of justice, you've got a serious problem. You've got a society, a culture that's fixing to collapse.
Yeah, and it also comes down, I think, to an issue of affordability. Now, as I noted earlier, there are some issues in Florida, and that would not be the only state where this is true, where you do have some outmoded procedures and you have perhaps some equipment that is not as new or as well maintained as it might be.
And that would include South Carolina as well.
Yeah, it is. First of all, that's unacceptable. There are some things you can afford and some things you can't afford. As a state, for example, or as a county or as a city, you may not be able to afford a new football stadium. Okay, you make do with the old stadium. That's fine. That's something that is very discretionary. You can't not afford to have the most up-to-date and hopefully corruption-free system of voting. You spend the money for that. And
exactly.
I don't know that everybody in this state is necessarily on board with that.
Well, certainly the legislature is not. We recently had an extensive interview, one of our cover stories, and this included the director of elections in Greenville County, Conway Belangian. I've known of him for quite some time, and quite honestly, I know some of the other election officials across the upstate particularly, and have talked with some of them, and these were some very good, trustworthy people. I couldn't tell you their political bent, could not tell you, because they make a point of not getting involved in the political aspect of it. However, they are intimately involved and interested in the accuracy of elections and making sure that the true winners are identified and that they also maintain the security of those voting machines, old as they may be. There are going to be issues at times, but there's certain things that I think folks don't understand about the whole voting process. I know that some people have said, why don't you just have a whole bunch of extra machines sitting around in a corner somewhere at a precinct so that if something breaks, you can immediately fix it. Well, it just doesn't work quite like that.
No.
That would be a huge security risk in and of itself if that were to be done.
Indeed. And the tendency towards when in doubt, do it digitally. I don't think of myself as a Luddite standing in the path of progress everywhere, but I know that since computers became a part of my life, there have been many things that work more smoothly for me. I have the information of the world at my fingertips.
Right.
I also have things I have lost on my word processor after spending an hour working on them.
Yeah.
I am prepared to accept that in my personal life, a few extra hassles. I am not prepared to accept anything in the election process that undercuts the credibility and reliability of the process. And if that means all paper ballots and it takes a while to count the votes, and I've spent a lifetime talking on the radio counting votes, then so be it.
Yeah.
So be it. This notion, some people are actually talking about voting online now. I don't just mean using machines that have little phosphor screens, but actually voting online. That would be a terrible idea, Lee.
Well, I'm one of those, and just call me old-fashioned, and I believe that voting is a right and a privilege, and there should be an element of difficulty to it, because it shouldn't be something for someone who just casually makes a decision about the direction of our municipality, county, state, or federal government. It should be folks who are informed, who are engaged with the information that you have about what the issues are and how things are to be done, and are actively involved in that. I'm not trying to say voter suppression. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just simply saying if you have to actually go to a place to register to vote 30 days prior to there being an election, wow, that doesn't seem like very much like voter suppression. If I have to show a photo ID to prove that I am the person that I say that I am, that resides in the precinct in which I am voting, I don't see that as voter suppression. Others may see that. I completely disagree, and I think there's no problem with that. But it's this like the situation we've got right now in Broward County, where these officials will not even tell you how many votes have been cast. They still haven't told you how many votes have been cast. That is something that is required by law to happen a very short time period after the final vote is cast. That is something that should be relatively easy. You count up the absentee ballots, you count up your provisional ballots, and you count up the number of people that voted that day. That should be pretty darn easy. That's almost like, you know, closing out the cash register at the end of the day at McDonald's. That shouldn't be that difficult. You have a total number of people that have cast votes for that election, and that's where you start. Once you have identified that number, then you begin counting what those individuals voted for. But this situation where you have new ballots are being brought in, or this was found somewhere else and this is brought in, like we're having down in Florida right now, that's absolute voter fraud, in my opinion, period.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine anybody could be that incompetent, frankly. The only rational explanation is that, in fact, it's a deliberate attempt to manipulate the system. I couldn't agree with you more, Lee. And by the way, what Lee just said is not at all voter suppression.
No.
It is voter elevation. He is suggesting that people actually spend, oh, I don't know, an hour or two deciding the fate of their state, their county, their locality, and their country. Is that too much to ask?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Thank you, Lee Rogers,
you,
as always. And of course, Lee will have another update on the news coming up on the half hour, as we continue to wend our way through this rainy, dreary morning in the upstate. And we will follow all the events that are occurring in places such as the Florida recount, Georgia, where Abrams, the Democrat, is filing another lawsuit. We'll take some more of your calls here coming up in just a moment. Joseph in Greenville has taken advantage of that number. Good morning, Joseph. Oh, Joseph is not with us. Joseph, I hope he gives us another shout back. I'm told that he was going to talk about his view that paper ballots are actually less secure than electronic systems. I would, at least based on what I know at the moment, think to the contrary, but maybe he's got a line of reasoning that hasn't occurred to me. 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And let's see here. If the vote count is not turned in on time, the vote should be invalid. Yeah, really. Let those voters take it up with the local official in charge. How many elections until it would be fixed? Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's more important that the integrity of the process be maintained than that a few votes not be counted. Now, don't get me wrong. I firmly believe that it is vital that we count every valid ballot. Every valid ballot. The key word is valid. And it's not enough to say, well, we'll just mix in a few of these bad ballots and it won't matter. It matters. It always matters. Whenever the will of the people is thwarted, it always matters. And that's why that should be a really serious crime. If you are convicted of some kind of vote fraud, either as a voter or as a public official, the penalty ought to be serious hard time. You are trying to stab the process in the back. It's a process that keeps us governing ourselves freely, that allows us to say, okay, I lost, but instead of shooting people, I'm going to accept the outcome. It is important that both the outcome be valid and that also there is the perception that the outcome is valid. Let's see, Jimbo, it's quite telling how all this election cheating, threats toward Fox News people like Tucker Carlson and the damaging of his property seem to come from the far left Democrat Party. And I've noticed not even moderate Democrats will call these people out for their bad behavior. Sherry. Well, Sherry, you are correct. And there are people in the among the Democrats who are not comfortable with this, but they lack the guts. And they lack it for a very simple reason. There were some surprises that came out of this past election, but that one little race up in New York where Joe Crowley, the very prominent House Democrat, a man thought to be in line for the speakership, very entrenched, all kinds of name recognition and money, was beaten by Alexandria Ocasio-Braniac, who is not too well versed on the issues of the day, had zero experience, zero money, but just by running to the left, and of course by being Latina, which for some Cretans is enough, oh, their ethnicity pleases me. Try pulling that as a white guy, see how far that gets you. But she beat this entrenched Democrat, and the Democrats are now running scared of their left-wing fringe. Now, that isn't the bulk of Democrats. It just isn't. It is not the bulk of Democrats, but a lot of the Democrats running scared. Dianne Feinstein was running scared. Dianne Feinstein, of course, because of California's bizarre election law, that everybody runs in one primary out there. And, of course, in a state like California, the odds of two Democrats winding up in the final election in November is very high. That's what happened this time. The last Republican went down in the primary. That's why in a state like California with a law like that, only one Republican should be running for any office so they can get into the runoff. That's the only chance Republicans have. In any event, she wound up beating a guy who still ran to her left. Think about this. This is California today. That a fellow who ran on the platform that Dianne Feinstein is okay, but she's just a little too conservative, got a substantial chunk of votes. I repeat, he didn't do badly on a platform of Dianne Feinstein is just a little too conservative. Now, I'll grant you this shows a lack of courage on the part of Democrats that they will sit by and say nothing. Sure, they're gutless to the core, and unfortunately that applies to people of more than one political party sometimes. But that's why, and Sherry is quite correct in what she noted, that they haven't said much about this for fear of offending the left, the far fringes of the left. Another texter here, Jimbo, in Georgia, the presiding judge over the recount is none other than the Democrat candidate for governor's sister, appointed by Obama. She won't recuse herself over conflict of interest. There have to be better lines drawn than that. That sort of relationship should not be allowed. Yeah, Stacey Abrams' sister, Leslie Abrams, is a district court judge ruling on the election lawsuit. Yeah, and I'm sure they're talking about it in Georgia. I'll guarantee you that. This is the kind of thing that cannot be allowed. We've got to put an end to this. People do not just sit back and lose because they wish to. They lose if they accept the outcome. Gerald in Cowpens. Good morning, Gerald. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Brother Jimbo. Hey, look, I don't watch the NFL, and I don't watch ESPN anymore, but I was just wondering how those thugs acted yesterday and it being Veterans Day.
How they observed Veterans Day? You may have noticed that there was a lot of attention paid to veterans and a lot of military units and flags and this sort of thing. They are aware. In case you didn't know it, yesterday was Veterans Boycott the NFL Day, and I don't know what the ratings were. But go ahead.
Anyway, I've been doing that for 3 years, so because I'm a veteran myself. But I was just wondering if they were still kneeling and acting a bunch of fools like they always do.
You know, honestly, I haven't seen that much NFL coverage, for one thing. And two, when I have tuned in, I have not seen coverage of people kneeling. My guess is that a few are still kneeling, but we just aren't seeing it as much, which, again, that's better than making them the focus of the entire pregame, don't you think?
Yes, sir. Okay, yeah. Brother. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You have a good week here.
And we will do it, and thank you, and you have a good week, too, and a dry week, Gerald, as we get a little bit rainy here for the next couple of days or so. Yeah, Gerald's point is well taken. Yeah, I don't pay that much attention to the NFL anymore. College football is fine for me. Go Clemson. But I was happy to see that their emphasis on patriotism on Sunday. I passed through a few of the NFL channels, and good for them. Was it hypocritical? I don't know. I don't care. They at least made it look as though they recognized the veterans' contribution. That's a step in the right direction. And you folks are texting up a storm here today. Let's see. Bring back punishment of banishment. Pitch those guilty of fraud out of the country. Maybe a swap for a legal immigrant. That would probably run into a few legal and maybe even constitutional issues, because if you are, in fact, in this country as a legal individual, especially a citizen, throwing you out would not be possible. We could lock you up, but throwing you out, not, I think, within the realm of the possible, although it does make you feel good thinking about it, doesn't it? I have on more than one occasion told a caller who was upset with this country that I would pay their way out, but they, with a proviso, they must never, ever come back. Why do you think moderate Muslims do not come out against extreme Muslims? It's the same with Democrats. They don't want to get Tucker Carlson'd. There's some of that. Yes, there is. There is some genuine, intense pressure, intimidation that occurs in some of the mosques in this country, especially the newer, wealthier ones that are funded by the Wahhabis. Jimbo, as a disabled combat veteran, I stopped watching the NFL 3 years ago. Go Tigers on Saturday. Yes, amen to both. I must confess, I really... the main reason, you know, I check in with the NFL, honestly, is because I feel like it's necessary to be up to date on what's happening for doing shows like this. And so I can tell you that, yes, they did a nice job of indicating that they were all in favor of the veterans on the NFL yesterday. I'll accept it. That doesn't mean I necessarily believe they're sincere, but I accept it. This is an interesting text here. Jimbo, electronic voting is far more secure from voter fraud than paper ballots. On electronic voting machines in South Carolina, each electronic ballot cast is linked to your voter registration, your photo ID, and the poll worker who scanned the ID when you voted. I'm a software engineer, and I've observed this process, and I can tell you that process cannot get more secure than that. Paper ballots are easy to forge because there is no verifiable link back to the voter whose name is on the ballot, Brian in Greenville. Okay, my argument is that we do the most secure means possible. That certainly sounds reasonable. I confess it gets into areas of technical expertise that exceeds me, but if that is really the secure way, then good. I'm for that. Let's see here. Can you discuss your thoughts on the renewed discussion that rural America is holding urban areas hostage? Rural America is holding urban areas hostage. I have never even heard that rural America was holding urban areas hostage, quite frankly. As long as each group is voted fair, is counted, votes are counted fairly, then I don't buy the notion that rural America is holding urban areas hostage. Jimbo, don't know this Bennett guy who was dropped by a ZZ Top member, but could you give out his website so I can purchase his CD? Sure, that's easy. Benton Blunt, or Blount, the website is his name, BENTONBLOUNT.com. That's BENTONBLOUNT.com. Benton Blount, and that is his website. Jimbo, paper ballots mean nothing in Florida. I remember hanging chads. Boy, do I remember hanging chads. I even have an autographed hanging chad ballot signed by Catherine Harris, who was the state elections person. Remember that? I have a ballot from her that was signed. I've got it framed. It's sitting on the wall right behind me here. And every now and then I'll stop and look at that. So the more things change, I guess the more they stay the same sometimes. But the recount is continuing, faster in some places than in others in Florida. And the lead for DeSantis, the Republican governor candidate, is still about 30-some thousand. The lead for Rick Scott for Senate is under 13,000 and has been shrinking. It looks as though Kyrsten Sinema, the unbelievably wackazoid, I don't care if Americans fight for ISIS, a Democrat in Arizona, is going to be the next senator. That's not a given, but it's leaning in that direction. So, for what it's worth, we passed that along. Florida, rather, the Georgia governor's race, Stacey Abrams is filing another lawsuit while her sister, a judge, rules on the viability of all the lawsuits. Can you say conflict of interest? I knew you could. So that's part of what we're facing this morning. And there are still a few House races out there that haven't been counted up as well. It will not change the fact that the Democrats control the House, but their margin will be somewhat different. And there was a Democrat this morning who had promised during his election campaign that if elected, he would not support Nancy Pelosi for Speaker, and he says that he will not. He will vote for someone else. Who that would be is very much up in the air. There's no other Democrat who was announced for Speaker, so I don't think it'll make any difference. Nancy Pelosi is your next House Speaker. Oh, joy. Oh, thrill. Let's see. Texter says, highly dubious. I'm pretty sure it's illegal to have a voter's name or registration associated with a particular ballot. Voting is supposed to be anonymous. Well, I understand what you're saying. I understand what the previous person said. I can only report what you've said. That certainly makes sense to me. Do they actually have paper ballots? How are they recounting digital votes, and how do you have a truckload of ballots? I gather that the process must be, therefore, at least partially, a hand-count paper ballot situation in Florida. You could not have a truckload, of course, of digital votes. So that would appear to be the case in Florida, that they hand-count those votes. So, another texter, it's crazy how recounts and found ballots tend to work out in favor of Dems so much more often than Republicans. Yes, that's true. I think it's partially because of the fact that Republicans have tended in recent years to be far more civilized and accept the outcome of elections. That is to say, they will live with the process. And the Democrats would be well advised to think about that as well. If you lose, you lose. Try to work harder next time. Textualizing out there, let's see, Nancy's already in as Speaker, I believe. Probably. It's official on January 3rd when the House will officially vote, and not official until then, but yeah, it's 99% certain that Pelosi is the next Speaker. The Democrats have the votes. No one has even announced against her, and if somebody did, she would still probably have the votes because she's Nancy. And the only people that would be likely to challenge her, like Steny Hoyer, the number two Democrat in the House, he lost to her long ago in the battle for a Democratic leadership position. So, no, she's the next Speaker. That's going to happen. Speaking of people who win by virtue of being well-known, Hillary in 2020. Yes, there is talk of that. I've been saying this ever since she lost. Will she run again? Yeah, if she is convinced that she can run without being embarrassed. And I'm convinced that she can run without being totally embarrassed. There is a hard core of Hillary backers in the Democratic Party. There is. Don't ask me what motivates these people, but that group exists. And Hillary has been planning from the moment she lost to run again if she didn't get embarrassed. Now, if she turned out to be a joke, if she was, you know, showing up like 1% and 2% in Democratic polls for 2020, no, she wouldn't run. but she probably got 15-20% of the party that would support her in a primary race, and it's a very fragmented group right now. Can she win the nomination? I don't think so. Any way in the world that she can win the nomination, but she'll run. I do believe she'll run. And, you know, the choice is otherwise she's just going to be an embittered old lady cursing at the servants and torturing houseplants. I mean, not a pretty picture. I have no problem with her running. I have a problem with her winning. But in any event, yeah, I think she'll run. Because I think the polls will show that she can count on, oh, maybe 15-20% of the Democratic electorate. Nobody else has caught fire. California Senator Kamala Harris hasn't caught fire. Cory Booker hasn't caught fire, the New Jersey senator. The biggest name in the last poll I saw, the biggest name was Joe Biden. Joe, I'll be approaching 80, Biden. Number two in that poll was Bernie, I'm closer to 80 than you are, Sanders. And Hillary was number three. And I think Elizabeth Warren may have been like fourth or something in that poll. So, I mean, it sounds like the PGA Seniors Tour, for Pete's sake. Those are the bright, fresh faces that are being offered. And the Kamala Harris's and Cory Booker's of the world weren't even registering. In fact, none of them had as much as 10% support in that poll. Now, things will change. 2 years is an eternity in politics. But, again, to the central issue, will Hillary Clinton run again? I think so. She's already polling, I guarantee you. She is polling, and if the polls show that she would not be a laughingstock, she's in the race. I guarantee it. I don't think she'll win the nomination, but I regret that. I would love to have her get a rematch against Donald Trump. I really would. New faces are unpredictable, but Hillary is already stamped loser, and twice, of course, once in 08 against Obama and then again against Trump in 2016. So, yeah, go for the trifecta, Hillary. Go for the trifecta. I'm for that. All right, 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. As we look at a spectacle that's getting a little bit difficult to accept, that every time a Democrat loses, it's vote fraud, it's vote fraud, and then they promptly turn around and make it true by counting fraudulent votes. At some point, you've got to have both parties willing to accept the fact that if you lose, you lose, and you'll reorganize and try harder the next time. And Democrats increasingly, it goes back to 2016, increasingly they felt that was their election. It was their time, and they deserve to win, and they just cannot get over 2016. It just grinds in their gut, and that's at the core of a lot of what you're seeing, the totally rude behavior, the savaging of Brett Kavanaugh in the hearings. That's at the root core of all of this. We stole their election. Well, we didn't, of course, steal it. We won it fairly and squarely because a lot of people voted for Donald Trump that nobody expected would. That's not theft, but they considered it like their birthright. And especially young people who have, in many cases, probably never even had a civics course. People like that, for them, winning is everything. The ends justify the means. I don't know that many young people in this country have even been taught a week's worth of civics. I don't know. And we've got a couple of generations of those people who are coming into the fore. Oh, troubles, troubles, troubles. But if we didn't have troubles, what would we talk about? Other things to come up here. Jimbo Fraterra, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Time now, 3 before 9.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.